Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Welcome to the show this week. We're delighted to have Sean Kenny back with us for part two of five. We're going to talk about the college pathway, and we also have some great questions from some of our listeners for Sean. So after the break, we'll have the full interview with Sean Kenny. Thank you. The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com. Sean, welcome back to the show. How are you?
How's it going?
All good. We've survived another week.
I'm still locked down, but just so the listeners know, we're not together.
So we're going to talk about college soccer today. Obviously a big topic, particularly in America. A lot of people are obsessed at youth level, kind of going to college, getting scholarships and different things like that. You've coached at collegiate level in a couple of different places. So I suppose the first thing is, when you were a coach, Sean, and you went to watch players play, how much were you looking at the actual on-field ability in relation to the academic ability? Because obviously going to college, you have to be able to keep up with your grades and so on. What was the balance there when you watched a player?
A coach once told me, Kevin, the best way to get recruited is three words: grades, grades, grades. And, getting into school is probably harder than actually making the team. A lot of these big schools are now so academically successful that, you really need your wits about you, and you better be good in the classroom. So that's kind of that's the hard part for a coach, is to make sure that you qualify academically, I think.
Because, there are rules and regulations that are very tight when you do actually get there and play and study, that if you don't keep up your grades, you get banned from playing or from training and so on. Like, it's a serious thing, the academic side.
Well, it's more than I tell the guys all the time, and I give lectures to our fellows in the club about getting into college. You know, the more successful you are in the classroom, the deeper the pool of colleges you have to choose from. And, so that kind of there are plenty of fellas who maybe aren't so academically astute, and therefore, they can't get into those schools maybe that other kids can get into. So that's part of your. But before you even talk about, what kind of a soccer player you are, the first thing a coach will say is, are you good enough to get into our school?
Yeah, and then, from a pure kind of soccer point of view then, and kind of a loaded question, because you could be looking for players from multiple positions, but is there anything in particular you looked for in a player when you first went to watch them? Was it their first touch? Was it their work ethic? Obviously, was it a combination of a lot of things?
It's everything. It's a mishmash of everything. If you're looking, take at the very top level, those schools are, maybe just looking for four or five players. So if you're looking for four or five, maybe they're looking for a specific player. Maybe they need a goalkeeper right now. Maybe they need a right back, a left-sided midfielder. So they're kind of looking for specifics. For the ordinary run-of-the-mill college coach, he's just looking for a basically good player. And, it depends on the beauty of the game is that some guys might think this guy is good and another guy doesn't. And that's kind of, everyone should have a place to play or should be able to find a place to play.
And for listeners, particularly in Europe, that might not understand, the actual cost attached to going to college in America is absolutely crazy. Like some of the big schools, you could be spending up to $250,000 and different things like that. So getting some kind of scholarship money, whether it be soccer or academic, is a massive thing to a family, correct?
Kevin, it's so stressful. It really is. I mean, I've put my third kid now is a high school senior, and he'll be the third one to go to college. And when you see schools charging $60,000, $70,000 It's madness. It's madness. And I would tell every parent or every player, don't be that kid, you know, who chooses a college to play soccer only to find that, you know, you're strapped with thousands of dollars in debt when you graduate. So that's the thing you have to be very, very mindful of.
Because that's the reality of it, is these kids are coming out of their four-year college program and they're in massive debt in terms of college student loans.
Yeah,
and they're under pressure then.
Yeah.
They're under pressure to get the workforce.
And for what? Just because you played, you know, 4 years in college? And you know, what college kid goes on to make millions of dollars? There's very few of those kids now, so in the soccer world. So be very careful. Be very careful.
Yeah, and I think it's important then, you know, kids, players of all ages always ask me, you know, the different questions about getting to college. And one thing I always say, and I wouldn't be as much of an expert as you on this particular side of things, but one thing I always say is take into consideration your parents, because they're the ones that are going to maybe help you financially if they're in a lucky enough position to do that. So it's important as a kid to have that conversation with your parents?
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's very easy to pick a school based on, you know, their soccer qualities, whether it's facilities or you like the coach or the team's doing well or it's their style of play. That's easy to do. But please, and I warn every parent, please be mindful of the ticket price. It can get very, very expensive. But if you're smart enough, you can do it cheaply as well, you know, whether it's scholarship, whether it's academic scholarship, whether it's a cheaper school, staying at home or state school, or there's lots of, you know, financial ways to do it the right way.
Yeah. And then in terms of then actually getting spotted, like for a youth player, like where do players get spotted? There's a big industry over here for showcase tournaments. And we've both been to a lot of them for different reasons. Some are excellent, some not so good. How do people shift through that? Because a lot of that is business as well. How do you know what's a good showcase?
It's big business. It's big business. And look, if I'm the coach of England, for an example, I'm looking at the best players in England. I'm not going to go to the championship to look. I'm not going to go to the second division to look. I'm going to go to the premiership to look at players. And not only am I just looking at the premiership, but I'm looking at the top tier of the premiership. So if I'm a D1 college coach, I'm looking at where I can find the best players all in one place, maybe at the same time. So I'm looking at that top tier. So this tournament that has kind of, or this showcase that has second or third rate club teams, those are dangerous tournaments if you think you're going to go out and get recruited by, you know, 100 college coaches, because most college coaches won't be there. They'll be at the top end. So
then that kind of leads into the kind of like expectations of families and players. And let's start with the boys' side, because I believe it's a lot harder to get scholarship money on the boys' side if you're an American player, because, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of coaches will go to Europe for the players. So how realistic do you have to be in terms of what colleges you can get into? Like, everyone thinks they're a Division One level player when that's not the reality. But Division Two, there's a lot of strong teams and coaches in there as well, and that's a good kind of place for a player to be as well.
Oh, yeah, and Division Three. My son is a prime example of that. He could have played or tried to play at a fairly decent Division One level, but he chose a Division Three school, mostly for academics, but basically because he went in as a freshman and became a legit starter right away and played most of the time for 4 years. And that's kind of a success story from a soccer point of view. That was really important to him to play. So he sort of found the right balance. And there are plenty of fellas that will go Division One. They'll go to a St. John's, and you're not going to play till maybe you're a junior. So that's tough as well on a player. Do you want to sit down for 2 years waiting for your opportunity to play?
And some of the like the D3 schools are some of the best academic schools in the country. Like an NYU is D3. It's one of the biggest colleges in the country. So it's amazing for academics, and it's a good level of soccer. So there's benefits in that as well.
Well, that's where you have to do your homework and see where you fit in. you know, academically, geographically, financially, and of course your talent level. And I have fellows that come, you know, they dream of playing at the St. John's level, the Georgetown level, and I have to be realistic and say, hey, no, you're not that good. You're not, you know, you're going to have to take it a few rings down the ladder. And that's a tough conversation. But I think as youth coaches, we have to be pretty honest, because I'm not going to recommend a player to these coaches if he's not good enough, because that coach ain't coming back to you again if you get it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to be brutally honest. And you talked about there, like the high level coaches in the top colleges, they're going to the top showcases where they know the players are guaranteed to be there. But I'm a big believer in that kind of diamond in the rough. You know, the last adult club I was with, the Shamrocks, we never paid any players, other clubs did. And we were always searching for that kind of diamond in the rough that no one had seen. And I got great satisfaction in that. So I believe there's a lot of them in youth soccer as well that are getting lost in the system. It's very hard to find them, though, is it, for a college coach at the highest level? Because it's such a big country and they're really focused on the top teams and the top leagues, the DAs and so on. Do kids slip through the net that maybe are good enough for D1?
Of course they do. Of course, you know, there are players that, look, all about the DA was established, Development Academy was established so that the best, whatever, 1% of players in America could come together and play against each other. And look, I'm a Development Academy guy. I'm a fan of that. And I'm okay with that. However, there will be that player that maybe, you know, for financial reasons, for travel reasons, for family reasons, I can't play at a, I'm good enough to play at a Development Academy team, but I can't get there. So I'll go down the road to the local club team, and there will be that players. It's a lot of work for a college coach to try and find that. But, you know, most college coaches now, they have their own little networks. They have, If this kid is playing in California and he wants to go to NYU, hey, there's no need for NYU to fly out to California. He just makes, or she, right, just makes a couple of phone calls and we can find out how good that player is or if he's good enough to play at NYU.
Yeah, and then on the women's side, there's, because the standard is so high here on the women's side, there's more scholarship money. It's, you know, for the better players, it's maybe more realistic to get some money on the girls' side. That's correct.
I'm not very knowledgeable on the girls' side, but there is more money available. Like, whatever the stats are, what is it? There's less girls playing than there is boys, and more money available scholarship-wise. So, yeah, I think that's true.
And then in terms of it, like, if to give advice to a young kid in terms of saying, you know, you need to be proactive in your college search, and there's lots of rules and regulations with NCAA, and it's one of the reasons I personally kind of haven't gone into college coaching, because I think it would drive me crazy. But can kids email coaches direct and ask questions or say they're interested in a particular college or send video footage? Is that allowed?
Of course they can. Well, they have to be a junior. Once they hit their junior year, it's all bets are off, and you can do whatever you want. But you can look with the internet right now. It's so easy to you know, just get on, see the team, see where the players come from, see what kind of players the coach likes. If he's very foreign heavy, or if, you know, he's a New York school and he just likes New York players, or if, you know, you can do a lot of homework online and see if you like the school. Forget the soccer end of it. See if you like the school itself and see if you're good enough to get in. You know, so you should focus on choosing the right college based on, you know, your career goals or whatever you want to study academically.
So research, you're saying research is king there for the kids and the families.
And you can start that research as a freshman, as a sophomore. You can, you know, get on your laptop and research all the schools you're interested in, and then slowly as you get to the point of where you're thinking of going, you narrow these schools down. I always tell the story of a kid that came up to me and said, his father, I think he was a junior at the time, he says, look, and the kid was a good player, and he says, coach, I'd really like help with you know, where you think you can play. And I says, well, where would you like to play? I says, I tell you what you do, go home, write down the schools you're interested in. And I thought he would give me like 5 or 6 schools. He came back with 74 schools. And I'm like, geez, you know, are you really interested in 70-something schools? So you do have to kind of narrow it down and see if you fit the profile of what the coach is looking for. And then you can be proactive. You email the coach, you tell him, hey, I'm interested. And, you know, and the first thing a coach will do, I'm telling you right now, is make sure that you can get in. He will look at your grades right away. Can I get this kid into my school? And then the next thing, of course, you know, he will look at is the team you play for. So, again, going back to if I'm the coach of England and you play for Liverpool or Manchester United, hey, guess what? You're going to have a shot at playing with the English national team. But if you're a good player and you're playing in the fourth division, I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. So that's kind of the college.
So then,
go ahead, sir.
In terms of them, now in terms of the some brilliant points there. I mean, in terms of the coaches responding to people that email in, is it a case where, because I know you get inundated with people emailing, so is it a case where the coach does a very quick due diligence on whether they maybe can get in academically or so on, and then make a decision on that, whether they follow up? Will they always respond? Surely you can't respond to every
no, they
email.
Can't, but they will definitely hone in on and most schools will, you know, say, hey, I'm sorry, but our recruiting season is over, or you don't fit the profile, or, you know, maybe we saw you play or got a recommendation and you're not good enough. But, you know, a lot of schools now have the recruiting questionnaire. If you go onto their website or their athletic website, they have a recruiting questionnaire. That's kind of, you know, where you come from, what position you play, what foot you kick with, who's your club coach, all that sort of stuff. And that's usually a good way of starting the ball rolling.
Yeah, I think it's important to say, like, a lot of parents and kids, they get very anxious over this whole process. It's important to start early and enjoy the process and see it as a bit of a challenge and you know, as I said, enjoy it.
Go to a game. You know, we're lucky where we live. We're in New York and there's so many top college teams, whether it's Division 1, 2, or 3. And go to a game and see, you know, if you're interested in the school, go... You know, more than likely it's a night game and you can sit in the stands and see, is this where you want to play? And then have a look at the level and see, hey, is this the level you think? Do you think you can play at this level? Before you could do anything, you can do all that. And then if you're really interested, you email the coach or you call the coach and you set up a visit and you know, and then you take it from there. But I wouldn't go too crazy. There are fellas that get carried away and go visit like friggin' 35 schools. You have to narrow it down to probably 5 or 6 schools at the end of the day.
And then from a coaching point of view, Sean, you've obviously coached. You were at St. John's, I believe. You were at Concordia. You know, I was at a fair few of your games in Concordia, and not to give you a big head, but you always played a good brand of football.
Yeah.
Was that something you took pride in?
Yeah, that's... You know, I've been lucky where I spent, you know, a long time at St. John's, and I won a national championship. I just had to throw that in, Kevin, you know, so. I mean, you know, there, and that's a good point. See if the team is the right fit for you. Is this the kind of soccer that you want to play? You know, maybe some guys like possession type of soccer. Other guys like to just kick the ball. Other schools want to be maybe really fit and high press and, so, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. And it's like soccer all over the world. Maybe you like this team, but you don't like this team. And college is no different. It's no different. So you sit in the stands and you can watch the game and you'll get a good feel. Or is the coach a screamer? You know, do the players seem to not like him? Or maybe they do like him? Or, you know, there's lots of things you can learn from just sitting in the stands.
Well, one thing that I noticed, I signed a few of your players over the years at different levels, MPSL and CSL. And I must say that any of the players I signed from you were always very mannerly and polite and always said please and thank you and shook hands and always had a good work ethic. Was that something you instilled? Is that something you tried to identify before you recruited them to the college?
Yeah, I think that's just common sense. You know, good coaches want not just good players, they want good people. And the school, you know, and I always say, I even say it to club guys, the minute you put on that jersey or the minute you put on that sweat top, you're representing our club all the time. So if you're at a tournament, if we're away for, you know, we used to go away, Coach Mazur at St. John's used to always say that the minute you make the team, you're representing St. John's now for the rest of your life. You know, so when we're away and you're walking through the town before a game or whatever, you're on. You better understand that this is who you are. You're not just Sean Kenny, the soccer player. You're Sean Kenny playing for St. John's University. So I instilled that in our club today as well, that they're representing the club all the time.
So. Just touching on Dave Mazur, you mentioned there, he'd be a big name in college soccer. What was he like to work with? Because he's had a lot of success. He's I don't know him personally, but I've heard his teams are always very well organized, always very fit, tactically astute. What was it like to work with him?
Kevin, it was the close, and you know, I loved it. I loved every minute of my time there, and it was the closest we could get to probably playing professional. You know, he was, and this has gone back many years. He was into video before coaches were into video. He was into fitness before coaches were into fitness. He was into strength and conditioning. He was always ahead of the curve, and he would, and he wanted to win. And people used to say, "Oh, he's getting carried away. He has his team. He's killing his team fitness wise. He's doing this. He's over the top. We're having meetings. We're writing journals." But at the end of the day, he just wanted to win, and there's no harm in that, you know. So that's, I think that's what led to all his success. He deserved it. He deserved it. He killed himself.
Yeah, and then just kind of touching on that in terms of the professional aspect, and particularly there's a lot of kids coming over from Europe to college, and the level of kind of facilities, and particularly in the big schools, I mean, you're talking like facilities as good as probably Premiership academies in some cases,
you're
correct?
Absolutely right. That's what I coached at Concordia for many years, and, you know, I was the guy that lined the field. I was the guy that
I see you cutting the grass a few times,
putting the nets up, putting corner flags up. And when I went to St. John's, it was like Manchester United. Hey, we don't do that. There's a guy that does that. And we ain't driving a van to a game. We're getting on a bus or we're flying. And I was like, wow, this is the big time. This is the big time. And I loved it. I loved it. I really did.
But there's something nice about both of them kind of stories. Like, one, you want to be in the big college with the great facilities. It's as close as the kind of professional level. But there's also something nice and kind of, I suppose, romantic about putting the nets up and cutting the grass and having
that
pride.
That's fair. Yeah. I did take a lot of pride in that. And you try and wherever you are, I think you make it as professional as you possibly can. I coach boys, 16-year-old boys now, and I treat them like, no, we're Manchester United. We're not the Westchester Flames. So you better act and perform that way.
Yeah, that's excellent. And then, you know, the life of a college coach, I mean, is recruiting
90%
the biggest part of
it? Is recruiting. People think it's a great job. I just go out and I'll coach every day and I've got great facilities and we're wearing nice gear and it's all... But you don't see the hard work that goes into getting those players to your school. The endless phone calls, the endless recruiting trips, the, you know, days spent on the road driving to watch a kid. It's a hard job. It really is.
And then in terms of the kids when they're in college, and obviously like college is sport, it's academics, there's also a social scene. Like, how much does a college coach have to be aware of that and instill discipline, or is there a line where you can and can't cross there?
Again, it goes back to being a good person, doesn't it? It's you know, when they leave the soccer field and they're going to parties at night, or they're, you know, I won't say college players don't drink, whether it's drinking, whether it's chasing women, whether it's, you know, just being an idiot at a party. Those things are going to happen. You're just hoping that they would have some common sense and that you've instilled that kind of integrity or that, you know, professionalism in what they do. It's hard. It's hard, but it's, you know, it's part of life. It's like being a parent.
Yeah. So, Sean, we got some good questions in from some of our listeners.
Yeah,
I'm
ready.
Ask you some of these
I'm not
questions.
Answering anything on coronavirus or toilet roll juggling.
Your record is six, so you got to work. So the first question was from Elvin from Rockland County, and he wanted to know, What's the difference in the level of soccer from high school soccer to the college level?
Jump. Tremendous. You know, just think of I'm this high school senior. I'm a 17-year-old kid. And now I could be going up against a 24 or a 25-year-old man. You know, so I think the physicality is definitely the biggest jump. So if you're if you get recruited and you're on the team, you better make sure physically you're ready to go come the first day of preseason. That's my advice to any high school kid getting ready for college right now.
Okay, very good. And we have John from Orlando. He said, did you play, Sean? And if so, what kind of player were you?
I always kind of modeled myself on Roy Keane, believe it or not. I'd like to think that I was a decent midfield player with a little skill, and I had a left foot, which was always a little different. So and I'm an All-American from New Hampshire. So, but if you've ever seen soccer in New Hampshire, you'd know that's the reason I'm All-American. So,
I think you're being modest there. But obviously, for our listeners in America who don't know Roy Keane was one of the greatest players of all time from Ireland, played for Manchester United, but an all-rounder, really, wasn't he? Like people talk about
his. I think he modeled his game on me. I came before him. So,
yeah. I think you mentioned that to me before. One last question, Sean. This is from Long Island, from actually Long Island Soccer Magazine. And it says, Sean, who was the best player during your time at SJU? I presume that's St. John's University.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We had a lot of good players. I have two guys I'm going to do an injustice now to a lot of guys, but there's two guys I would pick out. One is Stefani Migliaranzi, only because I had a hand in recruiting him. He played in my club, and he was a local kid from Portchester here and was a fantastic player at St. John's. And the other guy, my favorite player to watch, was probably Huey Ferguson. And he was a Jamaican guy that played up front, and I used to just love watching him. He drove Coach Mazur up the wall. But his skill and his technique were phenomenal. So they're probably, I'm going to cheat and pick out two players, but many, many great players passed through there.
So, Sean, that's a brilliant show. Thank you very much for coming on again. There's a lot of information there, which is going to be very helpful. And we had some great listeners last week from all over the world, which we're delighted with. And next week, I think we're going to talk about the high school soccer scene versus kind of the Academy DA, which you briefly mentioned earlier. So, have a good week.
Thanks,
stay
Kevin.
Safe
Thank
and
you.
Look forward
Watch
to next
hands.
Week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sean. Cheers.